Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
She is somebody that has many, many different modalities, many different things in her wheelhouse to help you, your heart, your mind, your soul, be well. And among those, ancient wisdom, energy healing, also energy balancing, aka chakras. And I mean, there's so much timeline, trauma healing, on and on and more. And also, as a coach, she can help you soul coaching as well. And she's back with us with some more wisdom. Andrea Dragonfly joins us. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing great. How are you?
Super great to have you back here. And before we even get into some of the other modalities, and I'd really like to dig a little bit deeper into a few of these that we haven't hit so far. But even before we go there, we never really dug into how this came to pass for you in your journey of energy healing. Where did this all begin for you, Andrea?
You know, Steve, that is that's a great question, because it's like, how does our life turn out to be our life, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this, and my life has, where I am right now, really has been an evolution. And I think that we can all see that, you know, of course, we all have to go through and get our training, and we have to do the work. And then, of course, wherever we are in whatever profession, we have to build our skill sets and get us to be very successful, right? So my journey actually began when I was quite young. And I was probably about, I was in third grade. So if I go back in time, I believe that's around 8 or 9 years old. And so not exactly if it was 8 or 9, I'm not quite sure. But at that moment, Steve, I had kind of like a childhood awakening. It was kind of like a energy transmission even back then that came into me that said, question what you're being taught. There's far more going on in the world than what is being presented to you. And at 8 or 9 years old, that's kind of a big thing to get, where you're like, whoa, wait a minute. It was like a wake-up call. At such a young age. And so I got within me that, you know, I was definitely being raised within a Roman Catholic community. And of course, this information just says, you know, what is being presented to you? There's more to this than what is being given. So question. So it put me on this trajectory of really trying to find out, well, what is true, right? What is the truth? And it's also interesting, Steve, that we're always kind of born into the people of our lives that are going to help us find what we need along the way. So this is where we talk about karma and some of our past conversations. So I also had a father who is generationally in law enforcement. So 4 generations of law enforcement were in my family. My mother also worked for the Catholic parish as the office manager. So I came from this like very strong kind of family background of laws and rules, and this is what you do and whatnot. And so it was definitely one of those, you know, children that was testing, like, what is true? Why do we follow these rules? What is really this all about? How do we see, you know, the bigger picture? And so that just came very early on for me. And so throughout my childhood, I definitely was one of those kids that was testing the boundaries to see what's real and what's not real and why we do what we do. You know, are we doing this because we're told to do it? Are we doing this because it makes sense to do it? Because it makes us feel safe? What, you know, those types of things. So when all of my peers were getting ready for college, I was in that place that said, you know what? I have to go out into the greater world. I got to find out, what is the greater, you know, world about? Because I know it's far more than just this slice of my reality, right, this experience. So when I was 18, right after I graduated high school, I went out into the world, and I traveled from the Midwest over to Southern California, as any 18-year-old would love to go do, be at the beaches over in, like, San Diego area. And I began a journey of meeting many different types of people with, you know, varied backgrounds. And, of course, we are our experience to life, right? So what are we told? What is our natural program from our family, our communities? What are our experiences? And so I met a lot of different people. and really kind of put me into this whole beautiful kind of like the path was right before me. It's as if, you know, when you're called and you're kind of getting this information early, that it's almost like spirit said, okay, Andrea, let me put the path before you and go take, you know, venture off onto it. So it was almost immediately that I started meeting people that had these different beautiful perspectives of the world. And even if they came from hardships and lives that were really difficult, you know, from childhood, just being able to receive. And so I feel like I was gifted with the ability to be with all sorts of different types of people and be able to relate with them and be with them and see them for who they really were, even when I was young in my teens. And then with that, it kind of put me onto this path where I started to learn about, I had a roommate and I was living on, I was living up in the New England states. I was up in Maine. And I had a roommate who was an initiated water pourer for the Lakota Sioux. And he was doing a Nipi ceremony, sweat lodge ceremonies. And he was one of the very first people to bring me into the earth-centered indigenous cosmology and what, you know, what the sweat lodge ceremony was all about, but also a little bit more about like the First Nations people and their connection deep to the cosmos and to the earth and how they're not separate from one another, but they're integrated into one another. And so he became one of my very first teachers. Beautiful experience of that. And then, of course, I was traveling, right? So I left that, you know, left that part of my life. And I ended up also kind of getting involved, believe it or not. It's so funny how our life always has this way that we get into what we do, right? So, and then it put me into working with the Renaissance festivals, which some people definitely have a little chuckle at that, right? Like, oh, that's interesting. But what that also really did is it connected me with the divine feminine that is missing within our Abrahamic traditions of Christianity, of our, you know, of Judaism and of Islam. Of course, we get a lot of the God, Jesus, Holy Spirit in that, but we also miss more of that feminine. And yes, we have the Virgin Mary. We also have Mary Magdalene. And the stories of those, you know, also for me at that time of my deep inquiry was like, well, what about just the regular woman? How do we women sit in a bigger spiritual, you know, container with everything that is happening? And so within working with that, it was more along the lines of really starting to find the deeper healing that comes with the divine masculine and the divine feminine that we miss out in a lot of what I was being taught. First, I can only speak for myself, of course, because everybody has their own experience, right? And so that put me into this beautiful path of deepening into having this divine feminine journey and working with and kind of deepening into, you know, how the masculine feminine are not separate and that they are unity. And so this was coming at me at 19 years old. So being able to be introduced to these two paths pretty much within like a couple of months from each other. And so I just started to walk with both of them. Of course, I had my Catholic upbringing and had a lot of understanding of what that was as well. And so just being open to what was happening. And then along that, you know, along the path, I found myself wanting to go into herb school, learning about how plants are our allies. And actually, all of our medicine definitely comes from plants, animals, minerals, and that how we can actually heal ourselves when we become conscious of our relationship to these plants. So I went to herb school at 20 years old.
Wow.
And settled in right outside of Denver, Colorado, which is where I still call home, and began this beautiful path. And along the way, you know, with herb school, I met beautiful indigenous leaders, healers, medicine men and women along the way. And then, so I began just walking with these two different powerful paths of information. And then, of course, You know, as I go through the herb school process and really deepen my relationship to how we can heal ourselves, I start to recognize that there's so many allies that are available to us besides our plant friends, right? And then, of course, that brings us further into the process. And I also had an experience where I had met a person, and we talked about this. We talked about kind of like energy vampires and people who might kind of show up with very self-interested agendas. And I met this person in my 20s. I call him a magician, and he probably would have called himself a magician as well, but he was young, and he knew how to work with energy back then. Well, he took something from me, actually, Steve. He took a piece of my soul, which was very interesting, but it led me on the whole path of what was to come. And so this was actually during the time that I was kind of traveling with the Renaissance festivals and things like that, and before herb school. Just wanted to backtrack for a moment. But he, we embraced in this hug, and this is how energy can work, and it's fascinating. And of course, it just completely opened my world to it. But it's almost like the spark of life, my curiosity, my love, my passion for people and experience. It's almost like he saw that in me, and he knew that his was taken from him a long time ago through, when we talk about these soul losses, you know, somebody else stole that from him. This is a soul loss. And he saw it in me, and he wanted that for himself. So he energetically was able to take that. And I know that we're not going to go directly into how all that works because we don't have enough time for that. But I experienced a loss, a deep loss of passion, of disconnection to myself, to the earth, to the people around me. You know, I felt as if, you know, that life force had been taken from me, and through this process. And so after after that had happened, and I didn't really know what exactly happened, I started to realize I needed to go see a medicine healer, a medicine woman, medicine man. It didn't matter. I'd read enough of, books that had shown the light on this. And so one of my very first medicine people that I came to was a beautiful Navajo medicine woman, and she did what was called a soul retrieval for me. I met her when I was 20, but by the time I was 21, the soul loss happened when I was 20, but by the time I was 21, I had my first experience of soul retrieval. And when I worked with this woman, she really just brought me deep to the connection of the cosmos in a way I'd never known before. And at that moment, I was like, this is my path. I know this is what I feel deep within me. This is what's been most resonant. I want to know this information. I want to know the depth of this, because how it just felt inside of me, it filled me with the greatest sense of connection, of love, of joy. And I knew that this was something for me. And so, again, it just put me on that path. That's what actually put me into herb school. That's what put all these different teachers coming into my life. From herb school, I worked with Pam England's program, Birthing from Within, Natural Childbirth. I was also had met my beautiful father of my children. And even though he and I are not together at this point, I love him so much, beautiful man, and we were together for 20 years of our journey together, but decided that it would be best for us to go our separate ways. But I met him at that time, and we started having our family, and I just started to feel that connection. It's almost like a memory. It is a memory. You know, oftentimes, Steve, with reincarnation and coming back into a new, you know, incarnated life, we bring the professions that we were in our past lives. So if you're really good with money, then you probably had a past life where you were with money, you know, whether that's banking or whether that's with some sort of like business where you're very successful in your business. If you're a healer, or you are a person who has been working with the energetic world, working with this, is going to show up for you again in your following life, because we carry those traits along with us, whether we need to deepen them, develop them, or whatnot. We carry those with us.
I find that fascinating, Andrea. So that means that, let's say you're somebody who's creative. When you pass on, you may take that talent with you to, let's say, the next life?
Yes. You can take parts of that talent with you into the next life, for sure. It doesn't mean that you're going to be that much better of an artist, but absolutely, that was something that you had, that was a gift that you received within your life, because we all come in with gifts. Whether that's a talent, right? You know, people who are beautiful musicians and singers, you know, people who are just incredibly gifted with mathematics and whatnot, right? We, you know, beautiful people who are teachers and very connected to being able to be present for other people as they go through life challenges, right? So our psychologists, our therapists, our people of service. So we bring that forward from a past life with us. And then, of course, it shows up however it shows up for us. But I always feel like this is not the first time I've been deeply connected to energy. This is just me remembering that I've been deeply connected to energy. And so, yes, I started to collect all of the, like, remembering the gifts, remembering the ways of connecting in. And even with childbirth, you know, recognizing that we've been birthing, you know, women have been birthing babies since the beginning of time immemorial. And, of course, there is a certain time that we need, you know, our doctors. But for the most part, if everything works within the woman's body health-wise and there's no, you know, health concerns, that we can often do this on our own. And even so, like, my second child was born even before my midwife showed up, you know, and it was just a very powerful experience to be connected in to energy, connected into all of that which has come before us. When I talk about ancient wisdom, this is the ancient wisdom that was kind of showing itself to me as I was living out my life and began to do rites of passage ceremonies. And so creating a community where we were honoring these different life passages. And of course, these are passages of celebration, of natural growth. But within that, I knew, like, I was ready to go to college. I wanted to become a medical anthropologist, but because of my life and my children and my husband at the time, I was pretty much, you know, centered in Denver, Colorado, couldn't go out and work with the different indigenous and work more deeply with them at the time. But I got into cultural anthropology, and cultural anthropology also is exactly part of, you know, my heart, part of, like, understanding how everybody comes in to being who they are, their belief systems, their ideologies, their cosmologies, how they work with each other. And of course, it was a huge part that said, yes, this is part of the past. And, you know, moving through that and getting my degree within cultural anthropology, also women and gender studies, understanding the LGBT community, understanding how, you know, the patriarchal program of, you know, what has happened with women over the last few thousand years, you know, and how women have been seen in different cultures and not, you know, and how this is more of a patriarchal kind of agenda, right? So putting all of this into the energy field, recognizing the challenges that people come through, recognizing the differences and how we have all of these different lives and these different experiences. And then through that, what ends up coming up for me is I begin to have an opportunity to deepen my spiritual path. And I went through this beautiful 3-year initiation program of becoming a priestess, a woman of service, but it was called the Path of the Ceremonial Arts, the Star House in Boulder, Colorado. Beautiful, beautiful deepening. And this is about how we work with the inner contacts world. This is where we pull in that inner team. I talk about your inner army. If you were to have your own empire and you were to have all of your, you know, this is like your inner military, right? This is all of the different energetics that help support us. And so when I do work with any one of my people, you know, this is about developing their inner context teams, because there's so many benevolent energies that are available to us, whether they are part of our earthly allies or they are the unseen allies. And so through the Priestess program, you have to learn all about yourself. You have to learn about the shadow aspects of what we're here fighting ourselves about, you know, like fighting within ourselves, like, why do I behave that way? So these are the imprints that we carry with us through our lives and that are part of what we get stuck in, right? That's that shadow part of ourselves.
So
it's beautiful work.
We have a couple of minutes left. I know that you've talked before about soul retrieval, right? What is, I think it's called destination retrieval. You've heard of that, right?
Destiny retrieval.
Yeah, destiny. I'm sorry. Destiny retrieval. What exactly is that?
That's a beautiful question. Okay, so a destiny retrieval, and I was even going to probably talk about this in our next episode, so I'll give you a little heads up on it now. But the destiny retrieval is that you know what is deep within you. You may know that you are living this life, but there's something else that really wants to come out and that you want to fulfill this part of yourself. It's your greatest becoming of yourself. It's who you really deeply want to be and express within this life, whatever that might be, right? We all have something different within us. So a destiny retrieval is being able to go in to those places and to really bring that to the forefront. It's about how do we work our lives, how do we work our lives so that we can actually really have that, be that, do that, live that, experience that before our time is up in this lifetime, right? So that destiny retrieval is the ultimate place that we desire ourselves to be. And, you know, whether that's within relationships, of connection, at service, our success, you know, any of those areas that we deeply want to fulfill before, you know, before we leave this lifetime. Wow. And so that's what that is being able to reach that and go into those places. And we work with different worlds, the lower world, the middle world, the higher world. So we go up into the upper world to really bring this energy into a person's being so that they can live it in the now, as opposed to, oh, I want that 5 years from now or 10 years from now or whatever, like that ultimate end-all goal that maybe may never be realized. So that is what a destiny retrieval is. It's retrieving your truest desire, your destiny into the now.
Well, I feel we should probably talk about that because that almost sounds, or next time we get together, because that sounds like, it almost sounds like your purpose. You know, your life purpose, it seems like the answer would be right there. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So if somebody... We're out of time, but if somebody wants to reach out to you, find you, talk to you, learn some more, nobody knows about energy healing more than you. I'm going to tell you right now.
Well, I don't know about that, but by all means, my website is being launched this week. I'm super excited about that. And so that'll be AndreaDragonfly.com, www.AndreaDragonfly.com or DragonflyPassages.com. I can also be reached via email at Andrea@DragonflyPassages.com as well. So that those would be wonderful ways to connect with me. There's so much information here, and a lot of all of this will be found on my website, so that expect to see that soon. And yeah, it's been an incredible journey and so many teachers along the way. Every human being that comes into our life is a teacher in some way. We just have to recognize what is it that they're teaching us.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's the journey's not over. And in many ways, it's just beginning. And I'm glad we got a chance to do it together. And I'm looking forward next time we get a chance to talk.
Perfect. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Same here. All right. Thanks a lot, Andrea. Bye.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn those earrings today. I like those earrings. Gabby has those awesome earrings. I need to ask her where she got those, but that's just what she would want me to do. I'll have Michaela ask her for me.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Yeah, but then Michaela will be like, why don't you just ask her yourself? That's just like Michaela.
Sarah, buckle up.
Michaela's such a great name. I wish I was called Michaela. There's like a dozen Sarahs in my class.
Hey, we're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh yeah, seatbelt. I forget sometimes because my brain is like busy, you know? I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Remember, you have the keys, you have the power. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.